Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 3 o'clock hour. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe here with you as we continue to fill in for Hawk and Crowder. Dan Day with us on the other side of the glass. You just heard him there with the update, as we got a lot going on today. Typically, it can be a slow time of the year. We have had such a wide variety of things to talk about this week. It's been terrific. And, Hawk and Crowder, heck, they want to take another week off. We're ready for it. But, you and I have some traveling we're doing for the stations next week as well for some of the conference football media days and everything, so it's going to be fun next week as well, and I can't wait to hear some of the stories from Hawk in Japan, Crowder on a road trip with an RV and the family.
That sounds right up his alley.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear some of those stories. But Brian, we have a ton to get into. We told you that Roger Federer is now going to appear in yet another final in a Grand Slam singles tournament, and he's going to face off against Novak Djokovic. Also, we've been talking a ton about Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and the aftermath of another big trade that took place in the NBA last night. But we ended last segment. You had told us about the Adam Schefter tweet that, unfortunately, from a former Hurricane, that we're seeing Chris Herndon, the Jets tight end. He's been suspended for 4 games for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy. Now, I'm reading Rich Cimini's tweets on this, who covers the Jets for ESPN, and he says this stems from a drunk driving arrest. He also goes on to say, a first-time offender of the league's alcohol policy usually gets 2 games, but there were aggravating circumstances involved in Herndon's case, thus 4 games.
So, Ian Rappaport just tweeted.
Okay, he's got some more news?
Yes, and said that Christopher Herndon received 4 games, not 2, because a woman at the scene later claimed bodily harm due to the crash. That's why he got 4 and not 2. How that makes any sense, I have no idea.
So what I'm trying to figure out here is, like, obviously if you get arrested for drunk driving, get a DUI, that's dangerous. That's not a good thing for anybody,
yes,
athlete or otherwise. So that's the first part of this. The second part, though, is this a situation, and again, I don't know what happened, so I'm just speculating here, but is this a situation where the person who's involved in the accident, who's not at fault, is trying to take advantage and claim bodily harm because, you know, hey, it was questionable, but maybe I could take advantage of the situation? Or is there a legitimate injury and we should be concerned about it? I don't know. My point is that we live in a very litigious society.
Yep.
And that, you see this happen on a daily basis throughout South Florida, throughout the rest of the country, where sometimes there are minor accidents, yet somebody will say, well, I got to go to the doctor, get checked out, and it turns into a big deal, and you try to get a settlement.
Oh, my neck.
So that's the only thing I would wonder here. I don't feel bad for Chris Herndon because, hey, you get a DUI. You know, these are the circumstances that come with it. At the same time, I wonder if the 2 games to 4 games, it seems like a very narrow line that's been crossed there, at least based on this description.
It is. And again, I'll wait till all the facts come out to see who this young lady is. Was she in the car with him? Was she the person that he hit? To really give my opinion on it, because I never want to give my opinion unless all the facts are there. But again, like you said, he put himself in the situation. Mm-hmm. There's a thing that we have, it's called Uber. It's called Lyft. There's so many different ways of transportation when you want to drink that you don't have to get behind the wheel. I just don't get it nowadays, especially from kids that are making good money, that it's not going to kill your pocket to go ahead and get in a $20 Uber.
Well, that's the thing I've always said. And don't worry, I haven't forgotten. Brian's going to tell us more about the substance abuse policy, how they test and all that stuff. We'll get to that. But that's what I've always argued. Like, if you're talking about Joe Schmo, who works a 9-to-5 job that's, you know, maybe not making too much money, but works hard every day and decides he's going to have a couple of pops on a Friday night, I'm not condoning that. But I can understand, especially like if you're a minimum wage worker and you decide you want to go out and have a drink or something, and then you drive home because you don't want to pay for a cab or for an Uber or anything like that. I don't condone it, but you can understand the thought process behind it a little bit more. When you have these guys, even the lowest paid professional athletes are still making much better money than most of society.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cost them that much to get an Uber, to get a taxi. And here's something that is a nuanced conversation, but is worth bringing up. Every single NFL franchise provides a free driving service for their players.
Yep.
Now, I've talked to Dolphins players about this, and they've told me that they, in years past, have been hesitant to use it because they know that the team is tracking everything, even though it's supposed to be anonymous and all this other stuff, so they're a little wary of it. And they can afford to get somebody else. But the bottom line is, there's a free service available to everybody out there. So that... obviously, when you then look at a guy getting a DUI, it's like, dude, it's not that it had to come out of your pocket. You could have called the driving service that in each market, depending on where your team resides, you can utilize, and all players are given that information. That's where it blows my mind.
Yeah, and we used to use that service all the time in Charlotte when I would go visit my buddy, and he lived way outside the city, so I'm like, I don't know what you're drinking and driving there. So dude would pull up in a nice Denali, jump in. You pass out on the way home from the club or whatever, and you're good to go. And then the other thing I don't get is, like, I get it. Some of these young dudes got all this money and want to stunt. Like, I want to roll up to the club in my Lambo or my Rolls Royce, the whole nine yards. But there's another thing called Red Cab. Red Cab will pick you up and drive your car from the club and follow with another car and bring you home safe. Like, so you can stunt. You can show up. You can be the big bad man walking and all the chicks looking at you, pop your bottles. Then you get in the Red Cab and someone else drives your car.
How much does that cost? I know it's different each time, but
it's
approximately.
It's not a lot. Like, because I had a buddy of mine who's an attorney. That's how I learned from it, because he would always go to, like, the different bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, and stuff like that. He'd get hammered, Red Cab, and they'd come pick him up. I mean, I literally think it's like $50 every time, $60. Nothing expensive.
Not for those guys.
Not for them. Like, that's the thing. It's like, if you're looking about a regular person, 9 to 5, $60 every time if you go out every weekend, that's going to hit your wallet. But somebody that's making league men at $450,000, I think I'll take the $60 instead of cheapest. $5,000 to $10,000 would be a DUI for a decent attorney to get out of it.
Yeah.
And
for a lot of folks, it's a lot more than that.
And now, as a football player, now you don't get paid for 4 games. So now you're talking about not even $10,000. That's 4 game checks.
Yeah. Maybe be labeled a troublemaker. Maybe losing your contract. It could be a slippery slope.
Ah, man, listen. Take
much in the NFL.
It does. The only thing he's got going for him, he's a very talented young player that this is his first strike. And they'll still help him and they'll, you know, the guidance that he needs. But if this isn't an eye-opening experience for a young man, I have no idea. And I really, truly believe that this is, it also has to do with the people you surround yourself.
Yep.
1A being the agent that you sign with. And I just don't get how they're more responsible by saying, listen, do not do this. If you need anything, I'll get you the Uber.
Right.
I'll get you the Uber. I'll pay for it. How about that? That way, because you're supposed to be my client, my friend, whatever, my family. That's how they sell it. I'll take care of it. So make sure you don't get in trouble.
Now, before we went to break, Dan was asking you about how they test.
Yeah.
And yes, for those who aren't in the program, it's usually, you know, once a year. And you know when it's coming.
It's during, in the summertime.
During the off season.
They literally, it always gets leaked. Miraculously, it gets leaked. And next thing you know, you get a text message. Hey, drug testing, April this, June this. Good. All right, have a good one. That's it. That's all you get is the text message. And you know, okay, well, if I do smoke, well, if it's on April 23rd, okay, well, I'll stop smoking on this date, do something to cleanse my body, take my test, and go back to smoking.
Right.
Like, I really don't get it. Now, I don't smoke, so I don't get, like, the addiction to go keep doing the weed, but you can't stop for 3 weeks? 3 weeks? Because, listen, I've seen it before where they show up to your house, and you're like, what the heck are they doing here? And no, two dudes will walk in, go to the bathroom, boop. And leave. It's weird. You don't want to be in that program. Man, you don't want to be in that program.
No. And you're saying that they can show up anytime.
Anytime.
Out of the blue.
And it's not just weed. It's alcohol as well when you're in that program. And that's where you get screwed. Because imagine if you just want to go out with your girlfriend, wife, or whatever, and have some glasses of wine. It's not even like you're going to the club getting hammered. You just have some wine at home. Being safe. Not in a car. But if they come the next day, you pop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting slippery slope there because, again, like we're saying, some of these guys just have problems, right? Yeah. They got actual problems. Yeah. We saw with Deion Jordan, and you know, hopefully he's gotten his life turned around, but he had a legitimate problem.
Josh Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain guys that they just cannot stop doing it. But there are other guys that do it recreationally, and they do have the willpower to stop for a few weeks. And they can pass the test, and then they can go about their business. There are plenty of guys, you probably know more than me, but there are plenty of guys that I'm aware of that do this every year.
Oh, yeah.
And they thrive in the NFL. Nobody would know the difference anyway. And it's just the system keeps working that way. But they have the wherewithal and I guess the willpower to be able to know, okay, this will be better for business. I'll stop having fun for a few weeks or however you want to describe it, and then I'll go back to my normal ways once I pass the test.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excluding the guys like the Josh Gordons of the world that it's an addiction, right? It's a sickening thing that takes over their body and they definitely need help. But the guys that do it like recreational, it was an eye-opener to me the first time I started going out with these dudes and all of a sudden we're in the club and they just light up a J and you're like, what the heck? Are you stupid? And then you realize and they know the tricks and the key. And I'm like, oh, okay, well. And I just got used to it. Year in and year out, whenever we go out, people spark up. I'm like, man, they really don't. Well, okay, all right. Hey, that's your money. And literally, they never pop.
Yeah.
Because they know. So when guys pop, I'm just like, how the heck? What a moron. I just don't get it. And then, you know, you got your cases that you don't want to call them out, call them morons, a whole nine yards. That is a true issue with addiction. And that's where you truly hope that the team, that's why I hope that the NFL truly looks into what NHL does. And I was reading something about the NHL and how they deal with substance abuse and marijuana and stuff like that, where you don't ever see a guy get popped for smoking weed in hockey. Because if they do get popped, they bring him in and say, hey, do you want help? We have these set up for you. Mm. And the guy can literally say yes or no, but they monitor everything, but they don't suspend the guys. They just look to help them. And I mean, it's going to be one of those things where the NFL is going to have to address it because the more and more medical and recreational marijuana is getting legalized in America, you're going to have to look at it and see it. And to me, you're going to have to look at it as alcohol. You can't show up to the locker room high. You can't bring it on our grounds. You know, as an athlete, it's not going to benefit you as far as your performance. So why would you show up to the field high? I get it has medical benefits afterwards, maybe to help with pain, everything else. But you're going to have to monitor just like alcohol is because, you know, I wasn't into weed ever in my life, but I sat through a medical marijuana presentation that opened my eyes with all types of stuff. And now you see all these CBD oils and all these different pills without the THC in it with all the different benefits. And I'm like, cool. If it can help, do it.
Right. And I think that's people misunderstand because I just read an article. ESPN.com just had an article about CBD oil and it being prevalently used on the Champions Tour in golf.
Wow.
So for the older golfers.
Yeah.
And that, you know, this is a frequent thing where these guys are utilizing that. And again, it doesn't have the either the same level or any THC in it, depending on, you know, how detailed you want to get with it, but it has all these other benefits. And so, yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, Brian, because when you're talking about alcohol and how we treat alcohol, yes, it's legal in society, but again, you're not allowed at pretty much any workplace, I don't want to speak for everybody, but any workplace to be actively drinking while you're working.
Unless you work with an alcohol company, right?
Well, right. But you know what I mean? Like, you're not allowed to show up drunk and all that other stuff.
Exactly.
So, like, why would you be allowed to show up high? Because, like, I feel like that gets thrown out there where people are like, well, in all these different states, marijuana is legal. When's the NFL going to catch up to it? And it's like, well, the first part is, like, the NFL, if it decides to, they want to have that as a banned substance, I mean, what are you going to do? Stop playing football?
No.
Some guys have decided to do that,
yep.
But most don't because of the financial aspects to it. And the other part of it, too, though, is, like, I think there's the balance that you discussed. So if it is legal somewhere and the NFL decides to be a little more lenient, that doesn't mean that you can be like Le'Veon Bell and on your way to a road trip and be caught, you know, get pulled over and you're smoking weed. It's like, listen, if you want to do that in your spare time, that's fine. But not if you're going to a team function.
Yeah.
Right? Or a team road trip. Or, you know, like, you have to draw the line somewhere.
But also, it is illegal to smoke and drive. Like, you can't just be smoking weed and be driving down the street because you're impaired.
Very true.
So you have to, it's not like you can grab a drink and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, man, what's up, officer? How you doing?
It's legal.
This is just whiskey, man. Ain't nothing big deal. Like, you can't. So you just have to monitor as a normal thing as far as that can't be under 21. You can't drive. So why would you bring it to the workplace? Because it's not like you can show up drunk to the workplace and coach is going to be cool with it. Like, no, you're going to get fined and you're most likely going to get suspended.
Yes. We have actually a really, really good question here on the text line. Somebody says, hey, Brian, what's lower than a Woj water balloon? A Woj water droplet?
That's a good one.
I like the water balloon.
The water balloon's a good one.
Yeah. So
water balloon's like for like a, yeah, that's a decent sign in.
Yeah, it's, you know. It's
a droplet's probably like Tyson, I mean, what's his name? The Chandler.
Chandler Parsons?
Chandler Parsons. That's a water droplet bomb right there.
You go from Tyson Chandler to Chandler Parsons?
Chandler Parsons. Yeah. He's a water droplet. That's what it is. I like that texter.
Okay, we got a bunch of folks chiming in here. Somebody brings up the name of the honey badger, Tyron Matthew. He had a problem for a while, but he's gotten his life back in order. Somebody says, in reference to what you're saying, he's right. My friend is an ex-NFL player who was in the drug program. We were bowling, and the guy came to the bowling alley to test him.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they show up anywhere, and they will be like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I was literally out with somebody that was in the program, and the dude calls him, and then he was like, yeah, okay, well, we're here right now. We were on, like, Ocean Drive. Sure enough, these two dudes just showed up, went to the bathroom.
How do they know where he was?
I told him. You have to tell him.
So you legally have to tell
him. You can't, or it's a missed.
Yeah, didn't Terrell Owens a couple years ago say, I was taking a shower, I couldn't answer my phone, and it's an automatic fail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that's the same, because this was, like, 7-8 years ago, but before it's an automatic fail.
We got another texter that says, if that's true and there's a free ride service for these guys, if they get a DUI, they need to be suspended for a year.
Whoa, come on now.
They have no excuse to be that dumb and risk their lives as well as others.
A year?
Jeez. Come on, when you get drunk in the club, sometimes you're not thinking about all that.
Well, that's true, but many would say, and I know it's easy to say this as a compared to, you know, we've all been out before, you're having fun, you're caught up in the moment, but the bottom line is they would argue, hey, have that plan before you go out, right?
Oh, listen.
Before you start drinking.
When I know I'm doing anything in Miami, I don't care if I'm going to dinner on the weekends or the club, I'm going Uber because I know I'm going to drink. And it's just, and I always look at it like this. I have a really good friend that's a big-time attorney, and he goes, just know this, Monroe, the cheapest you're going to have is $5,000. The cheapest. The worst you're going to do.
I was going to say, that's on the low side from what I heard.
The worst you're going to do, you're going to kill you or you're somebody else. And I'm like, all right, I'll take that $20 Uber every time.
Yeah.
I don't care.
This may have been the same texter from yesterday, but it says, since my Heat didn't get Russell Westbrook, the next best thing is shipping out the four snakes, Likens, Duarte, Solana, and Dan Day, ship them to OKC permanently.
Well, now Dan Day's on that?
I guess.
I mean, he added two more.
Holy cow.
All right.
Where did that come from?
Dan Day made the list, baby. He's going up in the world.
I was
going
to say, I take it as a compliment, Dan Day.
I'm smiling.
If somebody is that passionate
snake.
About us snakes still being in this market. Then
who are the snakes? Us three and Solana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not me, Duarte.
No, Duarte. Monroe got left out of it.
Yeah, I'm not a snake, man. Come on, somehow. Man. Yeah. You know, snake.
One more I'll read before we take a time out here. It says, I agree with that last texter. I bet if they get suspended for a year, they would use that free driving service and there would be DUIs that would be down in the NFL.
I disagree.
Well,
I just know these dudes too much. Because here's the thing, if you don't want to use Uber, which back in the day, a driving service, if you went and got a black car like in the NFL or whatever, it cost you like $500 for the night. Now to get a black car to go to South Beach from, let's say, downtown will cost you $60.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to pay the $60, you ain't going to do it anyways. Like, you want to go to the club. Oh, it's no big deal. I'll just go have a couple drinks. Now I'll drive. I'm not going to drink that much. Well, you have three cocktails, you're over. You might not be drunk and belligerent, but you're over.
Yeah.
And then also, like you stated earlier, a lot of guys don't trust the NFL's team drivers.
That's what I've heard quite a bit.
Because they listen into all your conversations, where you go, what you do, how late, you don't want to.
Because what I heard was that guys were skeptical about it and hesitant to use it, and they would just use their own driving services instead. But because they knew that even though the driver was supposed to, it was all supposed to be anonymous and all this other stuff, that they just knew it would get back to the head of team security. And so then they would then tell the front office, so-and-so would use our service this weekend. Oh, and then again this weekend. And then again that weekend. And they just said, you know what, I'd rather go in a different direction and spend my own money to
but
take
as
care
a, of it. But as a team, you would love to see that, hey, my guys are at least using the service and not getting behind the wheel drunk.
True, but some would argue that depending on the position and the player and all that stuff, they'd prefer if they weren't going out at all. That may be unrealistic.
One thing you ain't stopping these dudes from doing is going out.
No, I'm not saying you're going to stop them, but I think the players were smart in the sense that they're like, hey, I know that that'll rub somebody the wrong way, so I'm going to make sure that I get my own driving service, not use the team's driving service, so that they don't create some sort of... You know how these NFL guys are. You can speak to this more than I can, but with the contract situation the way it is and all that other stuff, they don't want the teams to have any info on them whatsoever that could affect the type of money they'll get the next time around.
Well, ain't nothing in my contract says I can't party. Well, nothing in there says I can't party. And I'm using your service.
But guys have gotten released from teams for
way worse things.
I
could tell you a story in San Diego, what they released a dude. I was like, what? Wow, this is cutthroat.
Hey, let's take a time out here, Brian. We're going to come back. We've got a bunch of people texting in about this. Well, while we're on the topic of the NFL, there is a proposal that's been reported out there about a change to the season in terms of the number of games, and it's got a twist to it that I don't think anybody will actually believe, but we'll tell you about the details next here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. The 2019 hurricane season has arrived, and once again, WQAM is combining with the team at CBS4 to bring you extensive coverage from watch to warning to landfall to recovery. Keep it tuned to WQAM for up-to-the-minute news and tips should a hurricane approach. Hurricane coverage on WQAM is sponsored by BNT Services, protecting you with PGT Impact windows and doors. Be informed during this hurricane season from CBS4 and AM560 and 96.5 FM HD2 WQAM. We're back here. Hope everybody is doing well on this Friday afternoon. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe filling in for Hawk and Crowder as we get you ready for the weekend. Dan Day with us as well. So if you're just tuning in this hour, we were talking about Chris Herndon, former Miami Hurricane tight end, now with the Jets, being suspended for the first four games of the upcoming season due to the policy on substances of abuse. He had a DUI, and so we were talking about that. And I wanted to get into this other story emanating from the NFL in a moment, but we do have a request, Brian. So I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, and I'll let you handle this accordingly. I know you can handle any pressure that comes your way. Let's see. This is our friend chiming in, D from Wisconsin. D says, please have Monroe explain what happened in San Diego when the player got cut. He doesn't have to give names. Thank you. Keep up the good work, guys. Okay. Are you at liberty to tell this story?
Yeah, it's not like anything to do with like substance or anything like that. It was just a shocker that it was eye-opening how cutthroat the NFL was. So there was a player when I was there that had an injury. And, you know, you can't get cut when you're – back then you couldn't get cut when you're injured. So – they're bringing him back, you know, slowly, whatever. And then they were like, hey, let's go do some jogging outside. So they went outside to jog. Well, he jogged all right. He jogged his way right inside, and they cut him. And they were like, he was like, well, I mean, I'm injured. You can't cut me. And he goes, oh, yeah, but, you know, we have film of you running around. And they use that film to cut him. Yeah.
So it was, they were looking for an excuse.
Exactly.
Yes.
I said, oh, my God. And this is the training staff taking him outside. The job.
Oh,
they had somebody up top filming down. There they got their film. They were good to go.
Wow, that's dirty right there.
Yeah, that's dirty. And there was another dude when we were in off-season workouts there. The four rookies of us, we'd always go to, on Thursdays, we'd go to like the original Pancake House after workouts and then go to the casino. So it was a running back we're all getting dressed and everything, and he's a little bit behind. We're like, yo, what's up? And he's like, no, I'll catch you guys over there. All right, cool. So we all went over there. We're waiting. We call him. Doesn't pick up. Finally, we all get a group text match. Oh, yeah, they came in and they told me they cut me. I was like, what?
Sure. Just like that.
Just like that. Listen, that Grim Reaper doesn't play. That Grim Reaper does not play in the NFL. You get cut in stretching line. You get cut in the middle of practice. It is, man. And then cut day, you walk in like, where is he at?
Everybody's on edge.
Everybody's looking around the locker room, you know, and then you see the vets. The vets are just like, yeah, okay, another day. And then all the rookies are like, ooh, shoot. And he comes closer, and you're like, no, go to the next locker. Hey, what's up, Monroe? Hey, just saying what's up. Oh, thank God.
That's bad when they play around with their power, too.
Oh, my goodness, right? They play around with it so much.
But, you know, I don't need to make light of guys losing their jobs. It's very serious. And for some of these players, you know, the reality is when you get into an NFL training camp and you get to the end of it, that's their last opportunity for some of them to get to the NFL level. But with that being said, that's part of the reason why I always loved Hard Knocks is because...
That's why I was happy never to be on a team that was on Hard Knocks because, man, that would suck to get cut on TV.
But at the same time, like, there's all these reality shows on TV, and you feel like most of them are contrived and they're scripted and they create unnecessary drama just for the heck of it, where that is what it is.
That is what it is.
They're documenting it, and that's why I've always appreciated it. For as much as it can be difficult, it can be emotional, you get caught up in, you know, being attached over the 4 or 5 weeks it's on to some of the players, their stories, the families, and all of that, it can be tough to watch, but at the same time, it provides a really accurate glimpse into what the reality is for players in the NFL that are either on the cusp of being on the team or kind of going back and forth between the 53-man roster and the practice squad or maybe out of the league, depending on what your status may be.
Yeah, it's one of the best, to me, reality shows there is out there because it's real, it's raw. Like, you see the real emotions, you see the real, like, pain of getting cut, people crying, their families, the whole nine yards, and it's like, yeah, I've been through that, man, you know, and it's you put yourself in their shoes, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I didn't get cut on TV, man. Imagine if I was crying on TV. Nah, I'm good. I don't want to be that guy. And then, you know, I've had dudes that just literally quit. I've really had dudes that just say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go work with my dad. Tell the coaches, and boop, he flies off. I'm like, one day in the NFL, and he realizes he's done? Man, this is crazy. But, yeah, that's Hard Knocks is definitely, it gives you, like, very raw emotions, and it's awesome to see, but I don't want to be in that seat.
No, I agree with you on that.
I don't want to be on that seat.
I don't think it matters what type of work you're in. Nobody wants that filmed.
Nobody wants that, like, just blasted out. And then if, you know, if you get emotional, like if it's like your dream and then all of a sudden your dream's like lost and you show some emotion, now it's everywhere on Instagram and social media?
No. Yeah. By the way, so when you were with the Chargers, did they, you just described an incident or a circumstance in which it wasn't done in a classy way, but when they did pass along the news, like if they're getting rid of people, did they sit you down? They have a conversation with you about it? Or
yeah, all teams do that. All teams do that.
Yeah.
You know, you got we all call the guy the Grim Reaper, right? They all got it. So I'm a player personnel type dude. Comes, taps you on the shoulders. Hey, bring your playbook, coach wants to talk to you. How they show it on Hard Knocks is how they do it with every team.
Yeah.
Now, you could be. Like, one time we were practicing, a dude literally got cut in the stretch line because it's a numbers game, right? So if one guy goes down and we need to bring in an offensive lineman, well, who's on the low totem pole? So you're in front of the whole team and they just come tapping a shoulder and you're gone. And they're flying in a dude right then. So, yeah, it's they talk to you and say, you know, you did a good job, you know, but we just can't do your numbers. Like, hey, coach, just give it to me, honestly. Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
What's the deal? So, yeah, I've never seen or heard any stories where they do it like dirty, like all of a sudden no coach talks to you, but normally the coaches sit you down and say, a lot of times it is a numbers game. Like a lot of times you got coaches in there pounding on the table like, hey, we got two more spots, but we got four dudes.
Yeah.
You got the special teams guy giving his input. You got the offensive dude, the linebacker coach. Like, yeah, it's a battle sometimes for that last spot.
It is a harsh business, man.
It really is.
And you know what? I'll say this, Brian. Like, having, you know, we cover so much of the NBA offseason movement, and having worked for an NFL team and seeing not just players, but coaches come and go, and the turnover being as rampant as it is, like, I never I never get mad when a player is trying to get as much money as possible.
Nope.
And so, like, there's degrees to it. Like, I wouldn't recommend somebody sit out a full season, but I am fully behind the spirit of any of these guys taking advantage of monetizing their product on the field for as long as they're eligible to play, because that is the ultimate cutthroat business. Like, these NBA guys, Major League Baseball players, NHL players, they got their guaranteed contracts. And so it's like, okay. But the other part of it too is that for any fans that get mad at players who decide to leave to go elsewhere and all this other stuff, like, to me, there's no loyalty from the team's perspective. There should not be any loyalty from the player's perspective. It has nothing to do with the fan base.
No.
It's just about the actual business.
And
I feel like it's that way in the NFL more so than any of the other sports.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if a player decides, like, heck, even, like, I don't think any Dolphins fans are upset at Cam Wake for leaving, but, like, if Cam Wake sees, like, hey, the Dolphins aren't going to pay me what I want anymore and somebody else will, like, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to maximize it while you can, because nobody's looking out for you otherwise.
And like you said, it's a lot of turnover in the NFL, right? So let's just say you're the star player on the team, or one of the stars, or was a star on the team, and then all of a sudden a new GM comes in. You're an older star. You're making X amount of dollars, and he's looking like, well, he's not my guy. I didn't draft him. I'm going to prove why I can do this. So let me draft a guy in your position, and then I'm going to trade you. Yeah, I was a 4-time Pro Bowler for you. Yeah, doesn't make a difference. I didn't draft you. You got to get a cheaper guy. So when people are always, like, pissed off at this person, like, look it in their eyes. Like, you could do every single thing right. You could be the highest player at your position, Pro Bowl, All Pro. 2 years later, new GM comes in, I'm shipping you.
Well, then probably less talked about aspect of that is a new GM comes in and you got a lot of people in the front office or in the support staff that have done great work for the past regime, but they're not the guys or girls from, you know, from that regime. So the new guy comes in, he says, wait, I don't know any people. You may have done excellent work. And oftentimes they have done excellent work, but he says, I got people that I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that leads to the turnover as well. So and that's not just in football. That happens in other business, but more so in football, you see.
It's just not public in other businesses, right?
So we care more about it.
Yes.
Because it's a public forum that we're all, a form of entertainment that we're all interested in. All right. I want to get to this because I teased it before the break. But we have this report. Pro Football Talk is writing about it, but it's originally courtesy of Andrew Beaton, who writes for the Wall Street Journal. And he's reporting that as part of the NFL's push for an 18-game regular season, the league has advanced the possibility of such a thing, but it comes with a caveat, with a per-player limit of 16 games per year. So, imagine you've got an 18-game season, but each player is only allowed to play 16 of those 18 games. Pro Football Talk writes a big blurb on this, but they go on to say the fact that the NFL would even suggest such a revolutionary concept, one that oozes with unintended consequences, shows how desperate the league is to expand the regular season and how effectively the NFLPA has rebuffed those efforts. At this point, the league may get 18 games only by making the players a financial offer they can't refuse. So, I mean, there are so many different side effects to this one, because it's like, how do you determine when you play the 16 games? Obviously, injury will take care of that for some players. But if you have, for example, Tom Brady in New England, if you're Bill Belichick, how do you determine which of the 16 games he's going to play when you can only play 16 as opposed to the full 18-game schedule? Like, this doesn't make a lot of sense.
And the Jets?
The Dolphins at home, but not the Dolphins at Hard Rock.
Yeah,
seem to be good at Hard Rock against the Patriots. But this is strange. Again, this is a proposal.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's close to happening. But this one struck me as, it's like, if you're going to play 18 games, just do 18 games.
Yes. But
and then compensate the players more.
The owners don't want to take any money out of their pockets.
They don't.
Remember, we talk about it's a business. They want the highest return they can get. So they're not going to want to pay the players even more. So what's the next best thing? Oh, we'll just have them sit for two games so they're still the 16 games, but we get two more games of revenue in our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting, like you said, how do you pick and choose when to sit a guy? Because, yeah, some positions aren't going to be affected too much, but the quarterback position, going from your starter to a backup, like, is that not the ultimate slap in the face on the other team that, hey, by the way, Tom Brady's sitting and Brian Hoyer's coming in. What? That's what y'all doing to us? We're going to kill Brian Hoyer, and now you're going to have to carry three quarterbacks Now, what is this? Do we carry three?
Yeah, the rosters would have to expand. They'd have to expand. Because the other thing is, like, is there enough top-end offensive line talent to pull that off? Right? I mean, like, and how do you rotate, like, you know, this game you're not going to play your left tackle? I'd imagine the game you don't play your left tackle, you're certainly not playing your starting quarterback.
Oh, no. You better not be.
Like, so this, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to create different ways to push this 18-game agenda. That this one seems like it's got more flaws in it than any other I've heard before. Why not just say, here's the deal. If we go to 18 regular season games, then we're going to have to ask for more money from our television advertisers, in addition to just the actual networks that are paying for the rights. And so that will add more money to the pot, so to speak. And then that will be distributed the same way it's been, but over two more games. And so that would make sense. Everybody's getting more money. The owners are getting more money. The players should get more money. But I think you can make a strong argument from the players' perspective that if you're going to force us to play two more games that matter, then you can't just divide things the way they were before. You need to sweeten the deal for us, because we have now seen, we know with the medical technology the way it is, the side effects of playing this sport on you physically and mentally, in fact, which is something that we don't often like to talk about, but with the head injuries and everything. So, yeah, that's one way to go. But, again, this seems like it only really benefits the owners and the league as opposed to the
players. But there's three things that they're going to really need to do from a player's perspective. One, you got to expand the roster because you're going to need more bodies for practice, games, the whole nine yards. Two, more guaranteed money because now we're putting our body on the line for two extra regular season games plus postseason if you do make it. Three, the biggest one, like you just said, head trauma, the whole nine yards, you're going to have to do medical costs for life for some of these guys. So if you could do medical insurance for the rest of their life covering, that'll be a way to incentivize these guys, because I forgot how long afterwards they get medical insurance, but it doesn't last the rest of your life. And that's one of the biggest things that retired players talk about all the time is medical bills 30 years from now, 20 years after they retire. Because that's when it really truly starts affecting you. Like,
that's when you need it.
I'm 35, no big deal. 45, ooh, my knee. What is that pain on my hip? Oh, shoot. 55, knee replacement, hip replacement. Like, that ain't cheap. Like,
no, it's not. Yeah, all that stuff is really, really important and relevant to the conversation. So we'll see. This is just a proposal. It's a report. We're not sure if it's anywhere near close to being a reality, but we thought we'd pass that along. Brian, we're going to come back. I do want to read some of these texts. Got a lot of people chiming in. 56022 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. That's next here on QAM. Radio.com. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe. Here is, we're getting close to the 4 o'clock hour. Reminder, in the 5 o'clock hour, Barry Jackson will join us. He's out in Las Vegas covering all things Miami Heat in the Summer League for the Miami Herald. Looking forward to catching up with him. In the meantime, I want to read a few of these text messages. We've got a quick segment here before we get to the 4 o'clock hour. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line is how you reach us, 56022. Somebody, in response to your story about you seeing a teammate when you were with the Chargers get cut in the fashion that you did, he was injured, they told him to jog, and then they got video footage of him jogging when he wasn't supposed to be, even though he had been told by the training staff to jog. And they said that's the reason they were cutting him. Somebody says, damn, that was dirty.
That was dirty. It was cold-blooded.
Our buddy Rick and Davey says, guys, I do Uber and Lyft. I can also do rides on the side also. So in reference to the conversation about players.
I like the hustle, baby.
Getting their rides and all that stuff. Somebody says, no excuses. There's even a service in Broward by me that's a free service. They'll pick you up because their son was unfortunately killed by a DUI driver. And what the heck are these players trying to hide? They're all on social media, out and about. The teams know they party. They're human. They've got money. That's why they worked so hard, so they can play hard. There you go. That's one way to look at it as well. Now, in terms of the players getting cut, somebody says teams will cut you in a heartbeat. That is why any player that can should hold out for as much money as possible. Also, when we're talking about documenting players getting cut on Hard Knocks, somebody says, I want to call my grandma.
Yeah.
That was the response of Vontae Davis, who said, when Jeff Ireland said, hey, we're trading you to the Indianapolis Colts, he said, and then Vontae Davis, his response was, I want to call my grandma.
Hey.
And Jeff Ireland's like, well, hold on. Before you call your grandma, let me just tell you the full details. He goes, oh, I want to call my grandma.
At least for Vontae, he wasn't getting cut.
No, he wasn't getting cut. He was just getting traded.
Yeah, at least for him, he wasn't getting cut, and he's still making millions of dollars.
Yes, yeah. It wasn't as bad as getting cut, but that's what they captured.
Dang, and then Vontae, man, I swear, Vontae. And then he retires in the middle of the year. Oh, man, Vontae.
At halftime of a game with the Bills.
Oh, yeah. Vontae, you.
Somebody says you guys would love Last Chance U on Netflix.
Oh, I've destroyed Last Chance U. I flew through that. Yeah. Didn't that coach just get indicted on, fraud or money laundering? Something. He did something. He got arrested.
That's not good.
Coach with no filter. You watched the show before?
I've never seen it. I've heard all about it.
Oh, you've never seen it?
No, I don't have Netflix, so I'm holding out on Netflix right now.
Oh, you better get it, because I feel like in August, I think I said it's August something, they're going up to $15.99.
Mm.
Yeah, Greg, you need to get it, wink, wink, you know, user password, wink, wink.
Sounds like Dan's going to help me out with that. We may have some sort of barter going on during the commercial break.
Well, you know something I don't know? You got some back end, some stuff?
Huh?
You got some black market stuff that we could talk about getting some free Netflix?
No. I'm just saying he needs to get a username and password so he can get Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I got something in my eye. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, my bad.
Our buddy Fallen Poultry says, I'm a camera whore. I'd love a film crew to follow me around at work. Yeah, until you get fired. Not saying Fallen Poultry is going to get fired, but.
No, I mean, listen, majority of the time it's awesome.
Yeah.
But that one little time that you don't want anybody to see. Now the world sees it. Oh, man, you can't live it down, too, because the internet doesn't go away.
Mm. Now, somebody here says, we don't need Chris Paul in Miami. Please know, Kendrick Nunn is better anyways.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. It's summer league, okay?
I mean, somebody's deciding to go there. Like, I thought we could make the argument that Goran Dragic, especially when you compare how much each is being compensated.
Yes.
But the Kendrick Nunn thing, oh, man. Like, Chris Paul, I know he's on the downside, and he's not the same as he was. But let's not go that far.
Yeah, no.
Come on.
I'm with you on that.
Let's be fair about it. Okay. Well, that at least provides a little comic relief, which we always appreciate. Brian, as I mentioned, in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk some Miami Heat and the Russell Westbrook / Chris Paul, all of the different rumors, rumblings, reports that are out there involving the Heat with Barry Jackson. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, though, I want to continue that conversation. Plus, our old friend, wasn't that long ago, he was here. Hassan Whiteside has spoken as he's introduced as a new Portland Trailblazer. We'll tell you about that, plus talk more about Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and the rest in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.